and kind of evolved into the new age field through finding some wonderful people like Paul Winter Consort, and you inspired some wonderful people you got to know, and then you got to work with some of those wonderful people as well.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the greats you got to work with. I love the work you did with Carlos Nakai, and also you knew a guy that we just have had here a few times, Nuong Jichong.
Nuong Ketchog. Yeah, he's an old friend.
Yeah, Rita Coolidge, and got to work with some other South American flautists as well. And meanwhile, you landed up somewhere between all that traveling over here on Maui. And what brought you over to Maui in the first place?
Oh, my God, I just love Maui so much. I don't know, just the land, the ocean, you know, the whales, being, you know, so far away from any major landmass. I mean, Maui to me is just heaven. It's just, I love it so much.
And when you came, did you start your own studio here immediately? I know you have a studio in your home.
Yeah, I always have to have a studio. I've had a studio wherever I go for the last 20 years, because that's really, I mean, thank God for that too, because there's nothing like creative control, and there's nothing like being able to mix and engineer your own music and not have to ask for people to help you and stuff like that.
Well, and you know what you want.
Exactly. I know exactly what I want, and I'm tired of, you know, trying to communicate that to other people.
Yeah.
So that's one of the best things I ever did, was take that learning curve.
And it is. It's a big learning curve, and it, of course, it's constantly changing because more and more is happening.
It continues. Every time I upgrade, it's another learning curve, and it's ridiculous. It's like, oh, my God. The music business keeps changing in every aspect so fast, it's just, makes your head spin.
Well, you had the big year last year. Was it the year? No, the year before last was you won your Grammy. You won for Dancing on the Water. Dancing on Water in 2017. And that was after you'd been nominated for 13 Grammys. You got the Grammy Award in 2017. And I happened to be there in that theater. I saw you. I got a picture of you walking down just after it was announced. And you just had this look on your face that was priceless. I couldn't even describe it. But it was like, you know, a lifetime of work. And it is, there is that moment. I mean, it's great being nominated for a Grammy alone 13 times. But that moment you were called and received the Grammy, what do you remember anything that was going through your mind, or was it all a blank?
Oh, my God. It was a rush. I mean, I wrote a blog about it and that I posted on my website, because it was actually like, it was mind-boggling, because I had been nominated 13 times, and the first 12 times I did not win. So when I finally won the 13th time, I was a little bit in shock. And I'm standing backstage, and there's a nice man back there, and he's saying, like, you know, congratulations, and, you know, I'm going to lead you through the acceptance process, you know, because there's all these interviews and all these things and photos you have to do. And it was almost like the guy was talking to me and saying, Peter, you've been in an accident, but if you listen to my voice and do everything I tell you to do, everything's going to be just fine.
That's wonderful. I know, that's shock. That's called shock.
Yeah. I remember that guy. I don't remember his name, but I sure appreciated him being there.
Wow, that is wonderful. Well, you've done like over 60 albums and, of course, lots of soundtracks and all of that.
Yeah.
But it keeps going, and you have a beautiful new CD that was once again nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah, it's my 14th nomination.
Wow.
And I love the record, too. I love Dancing on Water, and I love this new album, Wings. They're very different. They're very simple production-wise. Like, they're mostly just piano. But they're very different, because Dancing on Water is all improvised, and Wings is all composition.
But they're original improvisations done in your piano here on Maui?
Wings?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that they are songs that evolved over a period of time that I let them crystallize and let them, you know, become like a composition. I can play all the songs on the Wings album. I can't play any of the songs on the Dancing on Water album.
Interesting.
Those are all improvised, and they were just one time improvs. But
wow.
On the Wings album, I can play all those songs. And I do, actually, almost every day. I still love playing them. They feel good to play.
What do you do when you're on the road to be able to play every day? Because, I mean, you've been on the road. You've been touring now for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I'm playing a lot, so I don't need to practice because I'm playing every night.
That's great. Your practice is your performance on stage.
Right.
Where have you gone to? Where have you been?
Recently, I was in South Korea, then I was in New York City, then I was in L.A., then I'm doing some gigs around Colorado. I'm going to Santa Fe this weekend, so been around. And then when I get to Maui, I've got a home concert in Kihei.
When are you getting back? December what? 20th?
My home concert in Kihei is December 27th.
Oh my gosh, just a couple days after Christmas.
Yeah.
For those people who are not aware of it, Peter, your home concerts are kind of a spiritual experience. And of course, it's like a homecoming as well. You have your regular fans who wouldn't miss it. Then there's some who still have not had a chance to lay under your piano. And that's become a big deal. In fact, some of the songs from Dancing on Water were actually created as people lay underneath your piano here in Maui, wasn't it?
All of them were. The whole album is from that.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And so beautiful and magical. And that was the one that got you the Grammy, you know?
I know. It's so perfect.
Yeah, absolutely true. But you have a lovely piano, an absolutely beautiful piano. You've had that one how long?
About 20 years.
Wow, so it's got the whole vibration of energy there has changed. It looks like rosewood, but it's not. What's it made out of?
Mahogany.
Oh, it's mahogany. It's a good sound. Oh, my gosh. What brand is it?
It's a Yongchang Kronberger.
Sounds German.
It's a cross between a German and a Korean piano.
There's a cross between a German and a Korean piano. My mind boggles.
Well, that's very common, actually, because Yamaha bought Bösendorfer about 15 years ago, and they've integrated those two pianos. So a lot of the new Yamaha pianos are actually a cross between a Japanese and a German piano.
Interesting. I did not know that. Wow. What was it like for you to play in South Korea? I mean, because it's a whole different world there in South Korea, and I think a lot of us need to learn more about it. You know, we're not that far from South Korea here, but a lot of us haven't yet done that. And I know so many musicians who go to Japan on a regular basis, but I don't hear about a lot of musicians going to South Korea.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you kind of, you know, you don't really know what to expect, but what I found is that they are super enthusiastic. I've had, you know, I've played some larger concerts there, like 1,000 people or so. And I asked the promoters if I could invite people to come up to lie under the piano, and the promoters are like, no, Korean people are not going to do that. They're much too self-conscious and too formal. And I said, are you sure? Can we just try it? And then they finally said, okay, well, you can try it, but don't be, you know, don't take it personally if no one comes up. You know, people just don't do that here. And so I'm at the concert, I'm talking to the people from the stage, and I didn't even get done saying that I'd like to invite people to come and lie under the piano when, like, 50 people, like, ran towards the stage and stormed the stage.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a line. I mean, I had to actually ask people to stop and to let the people that couldn't run, like the older people, walk to the stage.
Amazing.
Because they were so enthusiastic and so eager for an experience that was a little outside of the box, you know?
Amazing, amazing. And this was a concert hall, right?
This is a legit concert hall, you know, with, you know, like 1,000 people there. And that's happened every time. I've been there like 5 times, and every time I ask people to come lie into the piano, they just love it.
And you do this in your home, and these home concerts do sell out. I know they're very popular, and especially at the holiday time, but... So, you know, your site, actually people can see pictures on your website of people laying under the piano and to get an idea of what it's like. And you go about 3 at a time now, right? I mean, the days of you having one person under piano are pretty much by appointment now, right?
Exactly. Well, the one person's by appointment and concerts, it's anywhere from, depending on the size of the piano, anywhere from 3 to 7 people at a time. If I have a 9-foot grand, I can get like 7 people under there.
That's true. It's truly amazing to me. It's like, wow. Some of these people, and I wonder if this happened in South Korea when you had them under the piano, did they feel like it was really a powerful experience, and could they feel the difference laying under that piano?
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
That's amazing. Amazing. So when you do these events that are special, you're basically used to being on the road a lot of the year. About how much time out of the year do you do your tours now?
I don't know. It varies. I only do like about 50 or 60 concerts a year.
Only?
So,
only? Did you just say only 50 or 60 concerts a year?
Yeah.
Wait a second. That's a lot, Peter.
It's not that much. Actually, it's a good amount.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good. So, I mean, I try to be on Maui as much as possible, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard because, I mean, you have your son here and everything, and it there's a lot of ties. And you love, and the pictures you take, I have to say, Peter, you have a brilliant eye, and you take pictures of the sunset that are just amazing. I mean, they're really National Geographic quality, beautiful, beautiful pictures. Just from your iPhone, right? Isn't it your phone that's taken?
Yeah, from my iPhone, but I tweak them a little bit.
I tweak mine too. I have to say I do, but they're beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. Speaking of that, I love the beautiful hummingbird on the cover of your new CD. I don't know where that came from, but it's a lovely image.
Yeah, that's a beautiful cover. That's one of my favorite covers ever.
It's different than some of the others, too.
Yeah.
Did you feel something like change? I mean, obviously, you've gone through a lot of different things. You always have supported the environment. You've gone through a lot of the American Native Indian, and you went through a lot of different things that you've done, and a lot of course, beautiful soundtracks. Do you feel like you're emerging into a new sound and a new direction with this latest CD?
I feel like I'm really maturing as an artist and as a composer. You know, I feel like I'm approaching my best work. I haven't gotten there yet, but I feel like it's coming. And it's fun because I love playing the piano more than ever. I just, you know, I just do it just because I love it. And you know, the older you get, the more you do it, the more seasons you get. And, you know, it just kind of keeps evolving. And I'm real grateful for that.
I hate to even almost ask this question, but I'm going to. I mean, because there have been, you know, in every artist's life, when they're as prolific as you do with 60 CDs or whatever, you know, that, let alone how many YouTube things might be out there, and, of course, your soundtracks and everything. Do you find one, because in your concerts, you go back and do play some, do you find one that is still resonating, one you always want to, one CD you go back and always want to play from when you're in concert?
It's not so much one CD, it's like specific songs. There's specific songs that I will always come back to. And one of them is the first song that I ever really wrote with the intention of playing it again. It's called Spirit, and I wrote that initially back in like 1982. But it keeps evolving, and I play it at every concert because it takes me home. You know, it's just kind of at my roots, sort of. And, yeah, there's always songs. And then right now, I'm playing a lot of the songs from the Wings album, which is kind of unique, actually. I play almost every song from the record in concert because it just feels good. And that's kind of unusual, and I'm really enjoying that.
Well, you did a CD a couple of years ago called The Muse. It was about The Muse. I forget the name, but you did it with that beautiful cellist, right? But it was interesting because the Muse is a little different for everyone, and you seem to have a very good relationship with your Muse. I mean, do you have these, besides musical conversations, do you have spiritual conversations? Do you actually feel the spirit of your Muse or whatever the Muse might be? Do you feel that come tap you on the shoulder or kind of whisper to you?
Yeah. I do. Yeah. I do, actually. And it's funny that you that you mentioned that, because I haven't really thought about that, actually. But as you put it that way, all of a sudden I'm realizing that is so true. That I have this great relationship with my Muse, and she is, like, everywhere. And, you know, and it just comes. She just comes to me. It's crazy. It's like I just get one inspiration after another, you know. It's just never ending. And That's a miracle. I mean, that's just awesome and crazy.
Well, it is a miracle, but at the same time, someone asked me once, I write every day, of course, and someone said, well, why do you do that? I said, because if I don't do it, then I don't get any more. If I don't listen to what I get, I don't use in some way what I get, I seem to close the door on it. And then it's so you get that, right? Yeah. And you gotta honor the muse when the muse knocks. you don't close the door on the muse.
No, you gotta open the door and you gotta say yes. Mm-hmm. You gotta say yes, yes, yes. Come on in and make yourself available.
Yeah,
and that kind of strengthens the relationship and the connection.
Thank you. That's so beautifully put. That sanctions the relationship. It is something, and it's interesting because with that relationship, it's hard to sometimes match that same feeling in a personal relationship, isn't it?
God, what are you doing? Reading my mind right now, or what?
Yes, I do that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, that's actually a problem. That's a problem that I have. It's not so much about personal relationship. It's like, it's really almost anything else.
Yeah.
You know, the high and the connection is so beautiful and so intimate when I'm in that creative flow that when I'm doing other things, it's almost like, you know, it's hard. Let's just put it that way. It's challenging.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It shows on your face. It shows on your face in some of the pictures when you close your eyes and are playing. You can see the bliss you're in.
Well, it's just total focus. It's total oneness. You know, there's no separation. There's no thought. There's no separation where you're kind of judging or looking or analyzing, or you're not in your head. You can't think, you know, so it's total presence and total oneness. And, you know, when I can find that in another human being, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Or with another human being, you know, it's incredible.
Well, you find it when they're under your piano, and then you're kind of at one with that. But we're out of time, Peter, and I could talk to you forever, and I really look forward to seeing you on the 27th. How do people get tickets to that?
Just go to my website, petercater.com, and click on See Peter in Concert. There's a few tickets left.
PeterKeeter.com. Better get your tickets fast because it sells out, and it's always a spiritual experience and also beautiful. A very melikiliki maka to you, and wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in. And
you're
good
so
luck
welcome.
On the next Grammy. I'll be down there. I hope to see you there at the Grammy celebrations.
I hope to see you, too, and I hope to see you on Maui on the holidays.
Yes, aloha.
Aloha.